and beauty, and everything that flies. It's all about the race, and it's everything we know. Full down throttle, welcome to the show. Race Day Rock, it's your speedway report now. Race Day Rock, it's your facts from the track. Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. The Myers brothers did well in North Carolina Pavement Modifieds, and it was the 23rd annual Scrapyard 400. Brickyard 400. That was it. The 23rd annual Brickyard 400. That was it. The online NASCAR defenders and ones responsible for shoving poor planning under the rug provided, oh, so much material for today's show. Oh, all this and more. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, July the 24th, 2017. From the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, I'm Patrick Reynolds. And thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag until the top of the hour. Or maybe in the case of Indianapolis, we stay out and don't pit and go for that track position because the racing is so scintillating. Well, let's head up to the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap, tell you who won what. We had a real busy week, especially out in the Midwest around the Indianapolis area. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Machines raced the Brickyard 400 yesterday afternoon and evening, and darn near into breakfast this morning, Casey Kane snapped a long winless streak to win the 400. The Xfinity cars raced in Indianapolis on Saturday afternoon, where young William Byron won his third race of the year. Quite impressive showing for that young man. Now, the NASCAR trucks were in action at the Eldora Speedway in Rossburg, Ohio, last Wednesday, won by Matt Crafton after 150 laps. And how about dirt modified veteran Stuart Friesen coming home in second place after leading a whole lot of that event? Yesterday, the NHRA friends took on the racetrack in Colorado at the Mile High Nationals. Well, Top Fuel was won by Antron Brown. Funny Car by Robert Height. Drew Skillman took pro stock, and Eddie Krawick won pro stock motorcycle. The Lucas Oil 8 models got their week off to an early start in Aberdeen, South Dakota last Tuesday. Scott Blomquist saw the checkered flags there in the big race, the Silver Dollar National, seventh annual one in Greenwood, Nebraska, won by Tim McCready and $53,000. Not a bad first place prize for a day's work. The World of Outlaws Sprints had another busy week. Well, as usual, they always do. Last Tuesday, they raced at the Lernerville Speedway in Pennsylvania, where Donnie Schatz won the Don Martin Memorial Silver Cup. The Summer Nationals got going on Friday night at Williams Grove up in Pennsylvania. Brock Zierfoss won the A-Main Pennsylvania Posse. That's one for them as they scored. Everybody, the Outlaws and the Posse, came back on Saturday. They almost got the show in at the Grove. It was rained out at feature time. Heats qualifying all got in. The event will now be rescheduled. The feature race, anyway, will be rescheduled for Thursday of National Open Week at Williams Grove in September. Last night's event at Ransomville, New York, was rained out, and that was rescheduled for October. I'm presuming that will be part of Super Dirt Week up there. The exact date is forthcoming. Plan on Dirt Week sometime. The ARCA cars ran at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis on Friday night. Dalton Sargent took that event, and the Silver Crown cars raced there on Thursday. Of course, Bobby Santos wins at Lucas Oil Raceway in a Silver Crown car. That track really missing the Xfinity and Truck Series. Boy, I'd love to see them return. Grandview, Pennsylvania was rained out on Saturday night. In late model pavement action, the Cars Tour was in Rougemont, North Carolina. Stephen Wallace won the Super Late Model feature, and the late model stock cars were taken by Deke McCaskill. Saturday night at the Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Jason Myers was the feature winner there. The Modifieds raced Friday night at Ashboro, North Carolina at the Caraway Speedway as the Southern Modified Racing Series hosted Twin 50s Burt Myers swept both of them, got out the broom, won the first one, drew an invert from six, didn't bother him a bit, come back, win the other one. So let's see, three modified features here in the Carolinas, won by Myers, Myers, and Myers. Nice job, fellas, good work. Now, let's jump over to social media. I've been talking about this for a little while. The Twitter world, my world, you guys follow me at Speedway Pat on Twitter. The show has its own handle, at Speedway Report, when you guys are on Twitter. If you're not following me, you should check this stuff out, because it got really, really good yesterday as fire and brimstone rained down on your brother Patrick here. Don't worry, the umbrella was up, and we got into it. Where do we begin? I know where I'm going to begin, because there's so many layers of this and so many aspects and factors came into yesterday's Brickyard 400, which I'll tell you right now, in my opinion, was an absolute mess from start to finish. I'm going to beat it up good, but let's go. Okay, let's start right here. Indianapolis' start time. We begin with a green flag around 2:45 p.m. Eastern time. Fact, Indianapolis Motor Speedway does not have lights. Summertime is very common for thunderstorms. You don't have a whole lot of window here if anything were to happen, and boy, did it happen yesterday. Now, I understand on paper what all this looks like from the TV network's point of view, from the racetrack's point of view, from NASCAR's point of view, what they're trying to do. The reason for these late green flags. Here's how it works on paper, is that the TV networks would like to air the race starting at mid-afternoon like that. You know, have your window to run your race, have your post-race, all that, the burnout, the victory lane celebration, and then hand television programming straight from the race to primetime programming. You'll follow this model with the NFL. Does it a lot with their 4 o'clock kickoff games to hand this at between 7 and 8 o'clock Eastern time, roll right into primetime programming. On paper, that's what they're trying to do. Realistic application of NASCAR stock car racing, this does not work on so many levels. Yeah, great on paper. I love the idea. No, it's not going to happen and not going to work. There's so many reasons. Let's start with this. You have empty seats galore at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. People have to work on Monday. A noon green, then you throw the checkers at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, somewhere in there, depending on the yellows. People have time to travel and commute and get back home so they can get up for work on Monday during a normal race. If you're throwing the checker or the green flags at around 3 o'clock, that's very close to when a checkered flag would fly if you had a noon start. This turns people off from attending. This is a factor. We're going to get into this a little bit later as I went round and round with some folks on Twitter on this. Now, there were so many crashes at the end of the Brickyard 400. The primetime aspect of this on a major network, on paper, again, I'll say, is a good idea. With a little bit of a delay, this pushes the end of this race into the 8 o'clock hour Eastern time. You're in that 8 to 9 window on a Sunday night on network TV. This is primetime television time gold. This is gold for NASCAR. And they could not make a lap. Crash after crash after crash. As a race guy, to me, this was downright embarrassing. They just could not get going. They crashed and crashed and crashed. Daylight would soon become a factor. Now you're talking, we got down, you saw this, that last pile up on the front stretch where we threw the red flag and had this interminable amount of time cleaning up this crash. The sun is getting lower and lower. There's no lights at Indy. And then the final crash that ends the race. We didn't finish under green. We had to finish under caution. And the overtime line comes into play again. Fields coming down the backstretch. There's a big pile up on the backstretch now. We know when NASCAR should throw the caution according to their own rule book. They waited until Casey Kane, your leader, and good for Casey Kane, by the way, good to see him in victory lane, crosses that overtime line so they can throw the caution and make this race official, and that they don't have to call it because of darkness. They can say it ended under caution because they hit that overtime line and went the distance. You know, I know, everybody saw, they kept that last yellow flag in their pocket until Kane got to that overtime line. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if they threw the caution when they should have, and properly should have, it was before Kane got to that overtime line. Then what do? We got to clean up that mess and go for another green-white checker, because we're only on attempt number 3, and we could keep going on these. There was no time for the green-white checker. This was it. We're either hitting the checkered flag on this thing, or we got to call the race because of darkness. This dominoes all the way back to what I was talking about a few minutes ago with that stupid 2:45 p.m. green flag. If you throw that caution when you're supposed to, somebody at NASCAR has to take responsibility and answer for the stupid idea of starting the race so late. If you hold that yellow in your pocket, wait till that 5 car hits the overtime line, boom, then you throw the yellow. Now NASCAR does not have to take responsibility. We went the distance, the race ended, we went the distance we're supposed to, the checkers fly, and we're over, just barely ahead of sunset. We were literally within 10 minutes, I think, 12 minutes within sunset, and it would have been too dark to continue. This would have, could have, should have been a grand stage, even with the delays. You're on NBC Sunday night, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock hour. This would have been fantastic. This was NASCAR's time to shine with so many eyeballs on them. We look like the Three Stooges out there. This was a terrible ending to this race. These guys went into the fence on every restart. I don't know how many cautions we had. I don't have the numbers in front of me, how many cautions and crashes we had. But it was embarrassing that these are, I believe these are fantastic race car drivers. But at the end of this race, we couldn't even go through a lap. We couldn't restart a race. We couldn't make a lap. Crash, 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 fires, brimstone, torn up race cars. It was silly. It was embarrassing. It was sad. Now, more layers to this story. We throw the green flag. What was that? I said 2:45 earlier in the afternoon. We're rain delayed a little after 3 o'clock. Again, if we had a noon start, we would have been close to the finish of this thing, possibly finished, but certainly well after stage 2 would have made an official race. It was only by a stroke of luck and by the grace of God they even got this race restarted. We restarted this thing almost 5 o'clock Eastern time. You have a very, very small window to get this thing in, and these guys use this time up with these crashes. Now, I don't know if you were watching this as well, but I was watching the weather in Indianapolis. I was not watching the race. I was not even on NBC. I had the whole thing on Twitter. There was a thunderstorm cell predicted to be there between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. And on the radar west of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, it was yellow and red and violent heading towards that racetrack, and it broke up. They got really lucky that they even ended the race yesterday with the fiasco that they had with the weather and the crashes. Now, the teams all have to be to work Monday morning. Race fans have to be to work Monday morning, and you're leaving a racetrack at 9 o'clock at night. That's not what these things are designed for. These things are designed, always have been, when the races were full, when TV ratings were up, we were on our way home around 4 o'clock. If we were on our way home at 5 o'clock, that was a late checkered flag. Now, my personal battles with Twitter. I started with this, and we'll bring some people in here. Twitter's social media. We're social about it. We talk about it. I said, how's that 2:45 start working for you? I said that during this rain delay, where it was questionable whether we'd even have to come back on Monday to finish the Brickyard 400. Friend of mine, Ben Runge, he is a team member for the Petties on the 43 car. He simply tweeted back to me a poop emoji because he's in the pits there. He's in the garage, and he thinks it sucks. It's like, if you threw the green when you're supposed to, the race never got restarted, we could have gotten home tonight and been on our way home. Even at that, Lord knows what hour of the day he got home last night and then had to be at the shop in the morning. They don't have a glamorous job, guys. I did this many times. You go into that shop Monday morning, often on very few hours of sleep, with wrecked race cars and torn up cars that I got to get out of the hauler. Actually, a lot of the haulers weren't even at the race shops until well after 8 o'clock this morning, because I saw them heading south on I-77 this morning after the guys drove all night from Indianapolis. It's about a 9-hour ride from me by a car, never mind a hauler. But this morning early, they were still not back at the shops yet. As I said, how's that 2:45 start working for you? Twitter handle DeHart Garage. I don't know if this is good. If this is the same Gary DeHart who is a crew chief at Hendrick Motorsports for Terry Labonte years ago. Remember him, Gary DeHart? Don't know if it's any relation, but it's at DeHart Garage on Twitter. His quote was, "Let's wait for the rain from my 2:45 green flag." Not like you have time to get the fans in and out. I wasn't sure if that was a shot of how few fans were there because you didn't have to get them in and out, or if you had to get, you know, it was a shot at the darkness because the darkness was coming for sure. But that's what he thought. He's like, yeah, it's you're waiting for rain. When you throw green flags at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you are simply waiting for rain and not giving yourself any opportunity for a rain delay, which happens. Guess newsflash, racing is outdoor events. Now, hashtag NASCAR's allure at Wild Angel 6 says to me, give them a break. They move the race later in the day in hopes fans will come if they don't have to sit under noonday sun. Then it rains. I'll pick out a part of that tweet that strikes me my fancy. Sit under noonday sun. Trust me, sitting under the noonday sun is not the reason we have empty grandstands, that people didn't want to be in the sun and wanted to come out later in the day. Sit under the noonday sun. We started at noon for decades in NASCAR. Decades! The sun was hot all the time, and the stands were full. I think the beach really hates that noonday sun, huh? Nobody's there at the beach with the noonday sun? Yeah, nobody likes the noonday sun. That's it. That's not the issue. We all know the issues with stages and the chase and everything like that. 3 p.m. starts equals 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. checkers. That is just not appealing for a trackside audience. And we're facing the same thing this week at Pocono, just by the way. So the response from that last tweet to me, you can't blame Mother Nature's dislike on NASCAR. Next year should be better with date shift for IMS. You're outside. It can rain in the summer, the winter, the spring, the fall. You're not helping yourself with time of year or geographical location. It's outside. It's time of day. Throw the green flag when you should. Lindsay Benet says to me, how do you plan in advance for rain? It's summertime. It rains. You plan in advance for rain by allowing time for it to rain. You throw the green flag at 12. My original point. Let's get back to noon starts. That's why. How do you plan in advance for rain? You don't. It's an outdoor event. You plan by it by throwing the green flag when you should. So if you need a 2 to 3 hour track drying effort, you have time for it. What if a car gets up at the fence and you got to repair that? We've all seen that over the years, these bad crashes or bad pileups. You don't know what's going to happen. You throw these green flags at 3 o'clock, you leave yourselves no window to recover. Steve Post from the Motor Racing Network, he asked a question on Twitter. Didn't give me any grief about it, but he asked a question to all of his followers. Help me understand, why do people focus on crowd size? Complete this sentence. I complain on Twitter about the crowd size because ... My response was, because those empty seats used to be full. I was so proud to watch our sport grow in the 70s, the 80s, and 90s. When I had someone looking down their nose to me as an auto race, as an auto racing fan, and they were, say, a stick and ball fan, and they looked down their nose to me, I could point to full grandstands and over 100,000 people. I say, you don't like this sport? Fine. I do. And there's a lot of other people that agree with me. John D. on Twitter says to me, responds to me, it's still the same sport. If others are less interested, then it sucks to be them. John, this is not even close to the same sport. 70s, 80s, 90s, this isn't even close to what I grew up on. It does not hold the same fascination for me, nor millions of people. And we got a post from a former Facebook friend that I am no longer friends with. It is on the Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds Facebook page. His advice to me was to quit watching NASCAR, therefore I will stop complaining. Then the problem is solved. I wrote back to him saying, no, I'm not going to stop complaining because I care. I love the sport. I hate to see it going down the road. This is a bastardized version of what we grew up on and what was once great with NASCAR. This is not the NASCAR we love, and we try every day to turn this ship around and get it back going. That is why I complain. He said, well, then stop watching. I said I have stopped watching. I don't watch his races anymore. I don't have a whole lot of interest in them. How do I know so much? Through Twitter. It provides these lap-by-lap detailed descriptions of what's going on. It's all on my phone. There's videos that go up. Anything that happens, it's right there. You don't have to watch the broadcast. It's 2017. The internet, Twitter, Facebook has great in-depth coverage of all these races lap by lap. No, I'm not watching the live feed of the network broadcast, but I'm extremely well informed with people that are there in the pits, on these pit boxes, in the media center. They're all tweeting. Crew chiefs are tweeting. Drivers' wives are tweeting. Reporters are tweeting from the media center. All the information's there. They're posting the videos as it happens. You don't need to watch the broadcast. I'm not watching the broadcast because I don't like what's going on. But yes, I can still stay very informed. It's 2017. Welcome to technology. I don't have to do that. So I've been unfriended. If you want to see that, you can go to Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds on Facebook. You can read that thread. If you want to go to my Twitter feed, at Speedway Pat, you can see all the people that I pissed off there. And a lot of them unfollowed me and unfriended me on Facebook and Twitter. There's a whole group of them there. I got something to say to you. Bye, Felicia. See you later. Well, we'll see you later. Anyway, Speedway Report, hey, we're here all the time. And we're back next Monday as well. Folks, in between our broadcast, guess what? We got a website, too. If you don't like you like hearing what I have or seeing me and watching the show, yeah, we write stuff, too. Go to SpeedwayReport.com. We've got some good columnists there. I've got some columns, too. We write about the sport as well. Check out our website, SpeedwayReport.com. Jeff Gilder, ZRNN Racers Reunion. Thanks for allowing me another 30 minutes of our audience's life to rant and rave and give you my two cents about the motorsports weekend. Jeff and the Racers Reunion family will be back tomorrow, Tuesday night, 7 Eastern time. That's p.m. Eastern time, not too early. They're here with Racing Through History. We call it the Goat Rodeo. And don't forget that Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time right here on Racers Reunion Radio. Big thanks to everyone on the Racers Reunion chat rooms for tuning in. I'm talking a lot to the camera and the microphone. I see the messages go by. I don't have time to respond right away, but believe me, I love each one of you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for listening, and thanks for chiming in. If you would like to catch a rebroadcast of this show, or if you tuned in late, they can be viewed on demand. If you want to hear what I said again, you missed anything, go to SpeedwayReport.com, RacersReunion.com, and also the Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds Facebook page. Is everything we have, it's pretty well archived. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, please take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are the quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and of course BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rockin' with DragList.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds. You can follow the mess I talked to you about. You can follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. You can follow more of the mess there that I talked to them about. And for Jeff Gilder, well, of course, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next Monday. We'll have news from the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, Iowa Speedway, maybe Pocono if it strikes my fancy, and plenty of short track results. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.